Omar
Yeah.
Al-Khattab mentioned, how much impacts the audience listen is based on how much sincere you have in your heart.
ولو أن أهل القرى آمنوا واتقوا لفتحنا عليهم بركات من السماء والأرض.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام
ورحمة الله وبركاته. ما شاء الله. حياكم الله. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Brothers and sisters, welcome to the Barakah Effect Podcast. Our podcast discussion this week is titled Overcoming the Fear of Public Speaking. Ma sha Allah. So in this topic, we're going to discuss why discuss this topic, and we're going to share as well what are our experiences here, the team members at the Barakah Effect. What sort of exposures do we have in public speaking? And we're going to discuss as well like some core reasons on why is it exactly do we fear public speaking in the first place? And inshallah, we'll get into the meat of it. How can we overcome this fear, inshallah? So, brothers and sisters, listeners out there, do you fear public speaking? If you do, share with us in the comment section. Let us know how you overcome them or if you're still struggling with them. And if you have any ideas, any tips on how we can overcome them, share with us as well so that we and also the rest of the community can learn from them as well, inshallah. All right, so let's get into it. So first of all, let's talk about why are we discussing this topic. So maybe I'll pass this to Reza, inshallah.
Barakallahu feekum, brothers. Why should we discuss this topic? You know, personally, for me, this fear of public speaking is something that I myself has always struggled with for as long as I remember. And, you know, the sensations that you experience, for example, if you want to talk in public, it's quite horrible to experience, you know. Physically, you feel sick, your palms become sweaty, your throat dries up, you know, many, many thoughts racing through your head. And a lot of it actually stems from our own inner thoughts. And actually, a lot of these things can make us physically debilitated or may not make us perform in the way that we think we should perform in when we speak in front of public to convey our ideas well and all these things. So I myself have struggled with this fear for as long as I can remember. But what I observed as, you know, as you age, you know, more and more situations come up and pop up that require good public speaking skills. You know, the fact that due to this fear, a lot of us try to avoid it by running away from it, become a hindrance to our personal growth and progress, which we actually end up losing out on realizing our potential, you know. So this is something that is something that for a lot of us is a hindrance to for us to maximize our personal best or personal potentials or what we can be as a person and contributing to in our field, in our communities and whatnot. And so the objective of why we brought up this topic for discussion is to show that actually that we are not alone in this, having this fear. It's actually quite common, and that this fear, and despite it, it's not a permanent affliction, and there are actually many ways to overcome it. And it's not a one size fits all kind of solution, but that's why I want to share and learn from the brothers of how they personally overcome these fear of public speaking and how best we can manage it. Although sometimes it doesn't necessarily go away as long as you are, as long as you live, for example, but there are ways to cope with it and there are ways to manage and go around it, inshallah. Mm-hmm. So this is why, inshallah, why we want to discuss on this topic.
Yeah, that's good. And, you know, if you look online, right, if you look on, just try to Google search facts about fear of public speaking, you'll find that a lot of statistics, they will range between 70 to 80% of the general population have fear of public speaking. That's three quarters. Yeah. That means out of any random four people you pick, only probably one of them will not have this fear. That's what statistically it says. And what's interesting to note is that a lot of these statistics were done in Western countries, especially in America, which to our perception, we think like, wow, these guys are, you know, have no problem in public speaking, right? That's our perception. Yeah. But it turns out, oh, it's what they actually feel inside. It's something else, right? Subhanallah. So apparently, all the studies have been done and it shows that it the fear of public speaking is even higher than the fear of death.
Mm.
Go figure, right? So it's higher than fear of heights, fear of snakes, fear of airplane crashes. Higher than that, number one is fear of public speaking. Allah musta'an. So the comedian Jerry Seinfeld, I think you all heard him before, right? He has a very famous quote about this. He says that this means, these statistics tells us that if you go to a funeral, you know how in funeral, like in the West, they have people giving the eulogy, right? The eulogy is like this speech, you know, to talk about that person, who he is, what he's done, and so on, right? We don't have it, of course, in our Muslim culture, right? But this is what they normally do in the funerals over there. So what Jerry Seinfeld says, according to these statistics, you would rather be in that coffin, in that casket, instead of the guy on stage giving that eulogy.
Allah is that.
That's how bad it is, yeah? Subhanallah. And subhanallah, I want to share something, right? Just the fact that maybe shatters a lot of misconceptions that people have. Actually, even seasoned public speakers get extremely nervous. Even they also have these sensations of fear of public speaking, even though they're really, really good at it, yeah? So, yeah, I think this is something that when I learned about this, oh really? I had no idea. So I heard this podcast between Tim Ferriss and Susan Cain. I think some of you may know them. Yeah, Susan Cain is the author of the book Quiet. It's about introverts. So she is a very self-professed introvert. The book is about introverts, and so is Tim Ferriss. Both of them have bestseller books. Both of them have delivered TED talks, and each of their talks have millions of views. And yet they say that whenever they go on stage to give talks, they get incredibly nervous. Like, huh? Okay. I cannot compute that, you know? I remember Tim Ferriss even made a quote, like, you know, the TED stage, right? Behind backstage, actually, you can meet with the other people who are getting ready for their speech. So then he said that backstage, he saw all these like very seasoned TED speakers. So he's like, okay, I'm going to get some, you know, some inspiration, you know, just be around them, you know? And even they also having nervous breakdown. I say, you guys are not helping me, man.
And we are talking about overcoming fear today.
Exactly, right? Yes. But like what is I saying? I really like that point. It's about managing it, right? It's about what practices you can do. The fear may be there, but, you know, in spite of that fear, what can you do that you can still deliver it well in such a way that it doesn't compromise the mission that you're trying to achieve? Right. So, I mean, even, let's be honest, right? Even today, for me as well, that nervousness doesn't go away. There are moments where actually, honestly, I get so much panic and so much stage fright, I almost feel like chickening out. It sounds strange, but it's true.
You're not alone, Aki.
Oh, yeah, you too.
Actually, I'm also on the same boat.
On the same boat. Huh? Actually, you know, even right now, I'm actually very nervous as we speak. It's just that we, you know, develop mechanisms, right? So that, and you know, just to share as well, like, behind the scenes at the Barca Effect, every time we meet up to record the episode for this podcast, just to hit that record button just feels like...
Yes,
even this episode, right? Like, oh man, we can now, or I need some time. Oh no, let me get my coffee, you know, let me go to the toilet, you know? Something like that, right? So yeah, I mean, that's the point. I mean, all of us go through this. So yeah, that's a good point that all of us have this. So inshallah, we'll try our best. And I think it's important to note as well, when we talk about this subject, it's not that we're experts on this. In fact, we are struggling with this, and we want to aspire to be experts in this, right? And that's why we want to talk about this, because we are on that journey. And going on that journey, inshallah, we hope that you can also gain some benefit, and also we can go together and improve together, inshallah.
It's quite comforting to hear that those who are been on TED Talks, right? They're also struggling with it, even as they give their TED Talk. Yeah. That's quite somewhat comforting.
Yeah, I know. It is. Yeah, mashallah. Yeah, and actually just to share with the audiences as well, as preparation for this podcast episode, we actually did a survey on our Barakah Effect Instagram page. And mashallah, most 80% of our survey respondents admitted that yes, they had a public fear of public speaking. In fact, the statistics are very close with the worldwide statistics.
Close.
But, yeah,
right? Yeah, okay.
Mashallah.
So it's validated, huh?
Yeah, it's validated. Huh? This very unscientific explanation, right? And yeah, some of the reasons that they fear it is because they fear that they cannot explain properly. They fear that people are not paying attention, that eyes are judging them, that people are criticizing or judging them. They fear getting getting difficult questions. They fear about what other people think. They might mess up while delivering. And you know, when you read these things, you're like, that describes me. That's what I mean too, right? So so mashallah, I think it's good to share this out everyone, because it's actually something that's very common. So if you do have these thoughts, you're not alone at all. And I think also it's worth noting that why we're speaking about this as well, actually, like Reza said, I don't know, I mean, if you were in a professional world, you can't really avoid this. Actually, there are going to be situations where you do have to speak to an audience, right?
It's one of the essential skills for a worker, right? Whether you like it or not, you want it or not, you are executive or technician or whatever you are, you need to speak in front of the public, or even in a small group or big group, right?
Yeah.
That's like basically your performance basically depends on it. Your KPI, yearly annual performance, a lot of it is dependent on public speaking in one way or another. You know, speaking with your peers, speaking with clients, speaking with contractors, for example. You have many facets and angles of how you need to be able to communicate well with others. So it's a big part of a lot of things we do at work is around public speaking. So, yeah. Mashallah.
And let's talk about da'wah as well. I mean, da'wah, of course, we've discussed this, right? Like, there are many forms of doing it. But at the core of it, da'wah comes to call through speech. Right.
Yes.
So this is a skill that it's something that serves your deen in the long run. So it's something that is very essential. And I think also some of the struggles that I think this is important for us to improve it as a skill by itself, because sometimes it's a very big shame that sometimes people have the knowledge, but because they may not necessarily have this aspect of that skill, it's difficult for them to go. And sometimes they because of this fear, it collapses. So they don't realize the potential that they can have despite the knowledge that Allah has blessed them with. So I think it's a big shame, you know?
Yeah. Also, you know, one thing that inspires myself, like from the Quran, for example, the lessons we learned from the Quran, that even Prophet Musa had this fear as well when he was going to approach Fir'aun, isn't it?
And
Allah gave him the solution, and that maybe we'll talk about more during the practical tips. But just want to point out to the fact that even the prophets experienced this this fear of delivering in a public setting, you know. So, mashallah,
that's a really good point. We talk about TED speakers, right? But we're talking about prophets here, right? Like the highest level, right? The one whose their life mission is to deliver the message, is to basically call people and to talk, right?
They need to speak in public.
Yeah, they have to speak in public. And even they faced immense fear in this, right?
Immense fear.
So it's very good. And alhamdulillah that our deen teaches this. So it shows that, they still went through this fear, but in spite of what they felt inside, they still delivered their best. And mashallah, they are role models for us to follow.
Yeah, so inspiring, mashallah.
So maybe let's just go around the table right now. So maybe let's go around the brothers. Maybe you can just briefly share what experiences that you have in your what we can consider to be public speaking. So maybe we start with say Reza.
Okay, basically from time to time, you do get these opportunities that open up. You know, you see that these are amazing opportunities. For example, at work, just all of a sudden, I can recall some years ago I was invited to speak at a conference whereby, you know, the panel speakers are all like top of the line experts in the industry. You know, at that time I was in the consultancy doing sustainable design. So these were the architects who were, you know, top of their game and at the forefront of doing sustainable design.
The mashayikh,
The mashayikh, as you would say. And, you know, for some reason, I was working on this project and, you know, it was one of the showcase projects in Malaysia at that time whereby no other project was going with these measures, and therefore it made it like the pioneering project in Malaysia at that time. So I guess through that virtue, I was invited to speak in this forum. But, you know, surrounded by experts, I feel like, wow, how can I even... the imposter syndrome is strong, you know? You know, I felt really nervous about it.
Was it a live audience or
is it a live audience in a convention hall, actually, in WTC. Subhanallah. And and knowing that, you know, leading up to that event, it was such a lot of internal thoughts actually came to my mind. But so I started really preparing for it, you know, knowing every angle that people would ask about, you know, any single thing. And even when I was delivering, about to deliver the talk, I was looking at the hall. I was like, oh, the people. But when I started giving the talk, I think that, alhamdulillah, with the help of Allah and also through immense preparation. At first, I felt nervous, but when I got to warm up in a bit, it felt like it was, alhamdulillah, it went well. So that occurs to me that actually, and I had a thought at that time as well, that a lot of public speaking is hindered from your own self, you know, what you think in your mind. And a lot of it is from your own self, that actually in reality, if you do it, like prepare well, inshallah, and Allah will help you, inshallah. So this is some of my experiences regarding public speaking. And actually, despite those experiences, it never goes away. Like even today, I feel nervous speaking with you guys. When we started the Barakah Effect, for example, you know, when Faisal approached me to with this idea, I thought, wow, really? To speak about topics that, you know, in front of, let's say, the listeners as well. It's something that's really makes me a bit, you know, uncomfortable, to say the
and
least.
And then the first session was live, right?
Exactly. And some other live sessions that we did with others, yeah. Like Cult B, for example. That, you know, every time we approach the same thing, it always, there's always a fear. But I mean, this is just the way that I guess perhaps you, if you manage it well, inshallah, despite the fear, you can still perform or deliver how you can. Yeah, those are some brief experiences that I had in public speaking, and I have to say that it never goes away. But
you mean the fear? Alhamdulillah, the fear
never goes away. But yeah, we try to cope, inshallah.
Mashallah. Okay, how about that, Amir?
Okay, mashallah. I didn't have the opportunity to speak to thousands of people or even hundreds. Most of my experience with public speaking is in the setting of my workplace, whereby we need to go to engagements or review boards, yeah. And sometimes you do it internally with your colleagues, and sometimes you have to do it with your partners. I actually don't have. I'm not perturbed by the number of audience, but I'm actually more concerned by who is in the audience. So that's always my what I usually gauge. Like, for instance, yeah, I might be speaking more fluent to more people, but sometimes in a smaller setting, maybe a five person engagement, but a particular person inside there, it kind of like it makes me nervous. Yeah, it makes me I feel unease, and I do more preparation. I gotta warm up. I gotta do more things. Yeah. So it's about who is in the audience, number one. And sometimes, like, the topic wise might be a bit smooth, but the Q&A session sometimes can be very tricky for myself. I had this fear of like, what if I can't answer this, what will people think of me, especially when you are representing certain, maybe you're representing your company against another organization. So that kind of like responsibility sometimes might be a bit too much to take at times. Yeah. But alhamdulillah, so far, there are tricky ones. There are difficult ones that I also don't have solutions to that. And I resort to help from my peers, my supervisors. Yeah. And there's some who are, alhamdulillah, more smooth, and it went well, yeah. But it's a learning process. It's a learning curve, yeah. And the Barakah Effect set the platform as well to improve my deliverables in conveying my ideas, especially for non-technical stuff.
Oh, yeah? Mashallah.
For technical stuff, I'm a bit more comfortable. But for non-technical, I've never done it before, yeah. I've never done any sharing on religious matters, yeah, or something which is more on the non-technical, like integrity, things like that. Like usually in my company, we have regular engagement when we talk about integrity, business week, or so, whatever. But it's always like a 5-minute snippets, okay? Like we have a group and then stand, and then one person speaks about it for 5 minutes, and that's it. Yeah, nobody's got the spotlight on them, and they're going to deliver all the main points. It's never the case, yeah. But alhamdulillah, Barakah Effect gives me this platform, and it's something that I appreciate and use to improve myself for this, yeah. Okay. Shall I pass the baton to the next person between Aziz and Brother Aziz and Brother Shami? Yeah, who wants to come first, or
Let me go first.
Okay.
For public speaking, mostly for work, I sometimes represent my company to speak in public, usually engaging with the government, in front of ministers, sometimes people and the people representative, maybe about it's a large group because usually government will have a big crowd. And
when
I think
say,
the most
when you say people representative, you mean like members of parliament
or members of parliament, members
of politicians, okay.
Yeah, politicians. Mm-hmm. So you know, usually the Q&A is off topic, you know. So, something like that. So the fear is that I'm afraid that I would say something that is not supposed to say. Mm. That's the biggest fear because, yeah, you know, in government, in politics, we need to sometimes not to say something is not relevant or is that should not be revealed. So that's the thing I concern the most. And the other experience is, of course, the Barakah Effect podcast. During the live session, subhanAllah, was very more nervous than speaking in public because we are speaking about the deen, right? It's, I think it's something heavy also.
Right.
And I have a practice. When I joined Toastmaster, but halfway, that's a good practice to overcome our fears. And up until now, I still have the fear to speak in public.
All right. So some experiences with public speaking. You know what? I agree with Brother Amir when he said that the thing that he fears the most when it comes to public speaking is something that has got to do with, you know, the people that are in the audience. I think that's what I feel as well. Because once when you feel like there's an expert in the field that you are currently talking about, you know, the nervousness go to an all-time high, subhanAllah. So one experience that I can never forget has got to be when at the time when I presented my Viva or the final year project, right? When I was studying in the local university many years ago. So I was presenting to a panel of, about 3 to 4 senior lecturers and also like 1 or 2, if I'm not mistaken, you know, experts in the field of food science and technology. On top of that, I have had the pleasure of having my friends, my colleagues, my friends, my classmates, and also maybe some seniors sitting in the audience, you know, judging me and, you know, watching my every move, right? So it was really felt like I was about to faint, especially when I was preparing, you know, last minute preparation. So I was in the other room, so I could see the other person, you know, presenting. And then the lecturers and the experts, they were all asking, you know, really, really difficult questions. Why is this like this? What is the percentage so-and-so? Who is your, you know, what's your source on this? You know, all these things, like, I know I've come prepared, but when you see other people are like in the hot seat, right? Yeah, grilled in the hot seat. So subhanAllah, you know, right now I'm feeling it right now. My palms are sweaty. So subhanAllah, that's but alhamdulillah, when I did present my Viva, my final year project, alhamdulillah, it went far smoother than I thought it would be. So alhamdulillah, I don't know, was it the time, because it was close to Dhuhr time, so maybe the some of the lectures, they wanted to go out, you know, right away and go to the masajid and so on and so forth. But alhamdulillah, it went smoothly, ala kulli hal. Yeah, that's one of my most memorable memory with regards to public speaking. And other than that, it has got to be the Barakah Effect. The brothers have provided, alhamdulillah, this platform to brush up my our charismatic skills, presenting skills, so on. And also I have been given the privilege, alhamdulillah, to also lead some Umrah groups, people who came to Medina. Yeah,
okay.
So for 2 months ago, before Hajj, we have had the permission, we have had the privilege of guiding, you know, the Umrah Hajj groups, so to some of the, you know, places in Medina. For example, Masjid Quba, the first masjid ever built in the history of Islam, and to Uhud, and to say salam to the shuhada, the martyrs of the Battle of Uhud, so on and so forth. So this, when doing this over and over again, somehow the fear and the nervousness that was once there, right, in myself, it somehow with every group that I bring, you know, somehow the nervousness gets you know, smaller and smaller, you know, you know, little by little.
Right.
But yeah, then again, it's because I think it's easier to speak in a group of you know, with my fellow Malaysians, because I am delivering my speech in Malay, and of course my mother tongue is Malay, so I feel it's much more easy for me. The words flow easily with when I speak in Malay, and for English, on the other hand, I have although I have been growing up watching lots and lots of, you know, English cartoons, English speaking cartoons, and you know, stuff in the last time, listening to songs and whatnot, but still delivering speech in English is not the same as delivering it in Bahasa Melayu or Malay language. This is what I feel. This is my what I think. But alhamdulillah, again, for the barakah effect, it sort of you know, pushes me to try and deliver and to brush up my English presenting skills. So, and alhamdulillah, jazakumullah khairah to the brothers. Alhamdulillah. So this is just a brief sort of a summary of my experiences with public speaking. If I were to list,
you know, when Shami said you learn from English cartoons, I'm like, what English can you learn from Tom and Jerry or
you know? Tom and Jerry doesn't speak.
And that's when I was thinking Transformers. Okay, maybe.
Yeah, Transformers. Maybe. That's okay. Right off the bat, it's Transformers.
Okay.
Transformers and you know, the Spider-Man series, the 90s Spider-Man. Okay. Yeah, all these things.
Okay, inshallah. And it was like Kawabanga?
Yeah. TMNT. TMNT. Alhamdulillah.
Oh, mashallah. Allahumma barik. Yeah, it's very good. When you say that, you took me down memory lane a bit. Actually, come and think of it, back in school, I never had any public speaking exposure at all. Actually, I've never been.
Yeah, me too.
I think any of you like had in school? No, so all of us was after what, work or even university? University, I guess.
Yeah, mostly university.
Ah, mashallah. Yeah. Okay. Good. Yeah. So I had zero experience back in school. Zero exposure in this. The most public thing I would do back in school was that I was the guitarist. Sorry for another day, but so when Shami said that, I remember now, when he mentioned Viva, one of the first presentation I made back in uni was we did this project about this. We had to do this, design this water filter for an African country that has no water, something like that. And I remember because my team was so good, I didn't, my technical knowledge was quite weak, so I'm like, okay, give me to present the intro stuff. So I thought, okay, since I can't contribute much, so
that's,
let me just
trick,
yeah. So I thought, so say I can't contribute much, let me do a joke or two, you know, just to lighten up the mood. You know? So I remember the water filter that we came out with is like sort of an ionizer, and then it can I think the technology can fill like 4,200 liters per day or something like that. So we call it the Ionator T4200. So okay, I'm gonna make my best Terminator impression.
Joke.
Yeah. So I said, okay. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, today I'm going to present to you the Ionator T4200. Man, the guy, they loved it. And then right after, I can't remember exactly how was the response, but they were like, Terminator guy, huh? So that was quite nice, because that was one of the very first exposure to get in public speaking. I'm like, that's a very... a very positive reception that people don't even remember what the presentation was about, you know. Okay, people remember that thing. So I think that kind of thing helps, you know. So, and then looking back now, I guess people sometimes they don't necessarily remember the technical substance, but it's how you made them feel, you know, that those things that you know, that those things stand out, you know. So mashallah. So I guess for me, I think, yeah, it's not natural for me. One thing is that I realized that there was a need for this. So I've been volunteering for various different Islamic organizations and activities, and I realized that, hey, this there's no one doing MCing work. Huh? There are no Malay guys doing MCing work. Like every time there's a like English conference, they normally take either those who don't have experience or non-Malaysians. I don't know if you guys have seen this, right?
Yeah. Back in the media. Yeah.
I was like, what? What's going on? Somebody has to do it. And I said,
gotta represent.
Hashtag represent. I'm like, until when am I gonna say somebody has to do it? You know, like what? You know what I mean? When am I gonna why do I keep whining about somebody? The man, you know. So, I remember that was the first time I remember we were organizing the talk for the first time that Mufti Man came to Malaysia. And because of that time was like, that time I didn't do much because I was so busy in work. And then I realized the MC slot was empty. So I was like, oh no, crap.
Staring you in the face.
Guys, you don't have an MC yet. So no. Do you know who can be? I can try. Oh yeah. It was like, yeah. So mashallah. So that and then I volunteered for it. And mashallah, just to cut the story short, alhamdulillah, I didn't mess up too bad. It was only like a 5-minute introduction for Mufti Mank, but I think I spent like 3 hours preparing for that session. Just because I didn't want to mess it up. And then mashallah, I got a chance the next year again, then the next year again. And ever since then, every year I got a chance to become MC. So that was one very big exposure and developing that skill. And also concurrently as well, as we were doing all those things in Miri, our friends in Miri, we didn't have many ustad in Miri who can give classes, you know, weekly classes like we have in KL. So when we live in Sarawak Miri, so we did this weekly halaqah where we get together sometimes at Amir's place, sometimes at our friend's place. And I would normally try to deliver one of the what you call it, the naqib, you know, the guy who delivers the tazkirah basically, right?
Yeah.
So that helped a lot. So actually, I think this is something very important. It's like what Shami is saying. When you deliver to an audience which you're comfortable with, at least you deliver, right? That's the point. It doesn't matter like whether it's 6 or 600 or 6 million people, right? As long the idea is to get the muscle moving. I think this was what laid the foundation, especially in speaking in Bahasa, speaking in BM, because you know, I am a very Poyo Mat Saleh guy. I speak English a lot. So my Malay is really bad. My SPM Malay, so I think I got 4, I think. So yeah, mashallah.
That's not so bad.
Oh, that's not so bad. Huh? Okay, thank you. It made me feel better. So yeah, I mean, you practice over time and mashallah. So I think that's important. And I think in work as well, I get a lot of requirements to present technical presentations. Yeah. And I like to, actually, one thing about me is that I love sharing knowledge to people. So whenever I learn something, I like to organize these sessions, I like to share. So that kind of like creates that passion, which we can speak about how we can overcome that fear. And we do these team engagements and we can facilitate these discussions. All of these are actually some form of public speaking one way or the other. So I think that's why I think it's important that we ground people with this knowledge. But I think the most significant public speaking experience for me is the being part of one of the speakers for the Straight Path Convention in Malaysia. So it's an event that happens annually. And actually, I'm the MC every year. So I'm MCing for this every year. It's just that in 2018, they gave me a chance to deliver a speech. So they gave me 2 short sessions for this just to warm me up. So alhamdulillah, that was a really good opportunity. In 2019, that was the nerve-wracking one. They gave me an entire slot, like a full speech. So there I was sharing the stage with Dr. Ali Al-Barghouthi, Sheikh Asim Al-Hakim. Like, no, now you deliver one topic. I'm like, whoa, this is really imposter syndrome, man.
It was a big stage, right?
It was a big stage, yeah. I think there was like 1,000 plus in the audience. I think not as big as World Trade Center like Reza, but yeah, to me, this was like the entire world, you know, like at the time. And the topic was bravery and generosity, which was a very difficult subject, subhanAllah. Like when I first came in, I was like, ooh, who am I to do this, man? And then I remember I was like, just before I came on stage, I asked myself, what am I doing here, man? I couldn't get up. I got a bail, man. You know, what's the worst thing that can happen? I guess, you know, after this is Dr. Ali and me. Yeah, I guess if these guys didn't show up, you know, I was thinking about it. So mashallah, but yeah, that was it. Alhamdulillah, I didn't check out. So I went. And like Reza said, it's in the beginning, it's that first that starting the engines part, that's the worst burn that you can go through. But once you get that first phase, once that momentum starts going, you're like, hey, you know, it's not so bad. And then it gets less and less and less. And mashallah, you point out, you're finished. Oh, okay. Oh. Assalamu alaikum. Hey, you're done. Oh, okay. Mashallah. So yeah, I think hopefully whatever we can share here is a reflection of our experiences and what worked for us and what we are still working on, inshallah.
Yes.
All right. Fikum barakallah. All right, so let's talk about that. So why do we fear public speaking? Anyone want to go first?
Most of us, I think, for me, I don't like the attention. People are looking at me, especially the one who are looking at you with this serious face, right? It seems like they want to find your phone, whatever you're saying. But actually, they are trying to focus. It's not that they are, what is this guy thinking, right?
Yeah.
I think that's one of it.
Yeah. I don't like to be the center of attention as well. I concur with you.
Okay, yeah, I think all of us don't.
But also, perhaps also is the fear of, you know, not making sense or just blurring out. Like you have to say something, but then suddenly your thoughts go blank and then, what next?
That's the worst.
Yeah.
Sure. Feeling that vulnerability, like that you, maybe you're not going to be as what you think you are, right? For instance, like when I was starting working, that's when Barack Obama was president of the United States, yeah? So he was, what you know about Obama? Smooth talker.
Speaker, man. Yeah.
So the best speaker, sometimes when you practice, you say, I'm going to be just like him. And when the spot is on me, I'm going to be like him. But then reality kicks in, vulnerability comes in. Hey, really? Are you
reality check
really
going to
be that person? No, then this when, maybe I'm not going to deliver all these key speeches. I mean all these punchlines not going to happen. Then maybe people are going to say, what a cocky guy, man. I'm not going to be funny. My jokes, nobody's going to laugh at it. My points are going to make sense. I'm going to jumble all my words up. Things like that. You're pretty vulnerable.
The fear of not being able to pull it off.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good one. You know, speaking about like fear of being the center of attention, that what Aziz and Riza are saying, right? This is something interesting. I was researching about this. You know how kids, even we as kids, right? We used to love being a center of attention, right?
Yeah.
So what happened? You know? And in fact, you know, if you look at kids today, right? Like, they just love speaking out. You know, like, especially my son. Like, you give him the chance. Oh, mashallah, he'll create the most elaborate story. How a submarine can evolve into a dinosaur and so on and so forth. Like, they love to speak, you know?
holding back, huh?
Yeah. Like, you know, we say in Malay, slumber je, you know? Like, they just release, right? But over time, what happens? They develop this fear of public speaking. That's what happened to us. There was one point of time where we loved, you know, standing on the table and listen to the world. I have something to say, you know? But after a while, we develop this fear. What happens? What happens to us? So maybe it's for some of us, over time, when we speak, we get into trouble. We get criticized. Maybe you spoke to your parents or your teachers and then you got dismissed. You got discouraged. They tell them, listen, you young punk, you're too young to understand. Budak kecil, apa kau tahu? You know, the kind of phrase. You young kid, what do you know? So that creates this like, you know, I don't deserve to speak. You create this self-belief, you know what I mean? Maybe you got embarrassed or you got humiliated in front of other people. So you're like, man, I better save myself, man. Next time, you know, I don't want to attack myself again. You know, I want to share the pain. I want to save myself from the pain. Or maybe, you know, when you shared your thoughts publicly or you voiced your opinion in maybe to your parents, then they laughed at you. Huh? Like this? So you're like, next time I better don't say anything lah. Yeah. Better just shut up lah. You know, that you create this belief.
Yeah.
And maybe even your adult years, maybe at work or somebody you know, when you speak up, then that person gets trouble. Maybe they lose their job, they get a low performance rating, they get stored into cold storage, Allahumma sta'an, right? You know? So that creates like, speaking up gets you into a lot of crap. Okay, so
the safe space that was there when you were young slowly cracks, right? So
exactly.
No more safe space. The bubble just go just pop.
Yeah.
As you age.
So as you age, you develop this jaded perception whereby I'd rather not speak. It's safer for me to live my life without speaking. So
it's like a defense mechanism, protection mechanism.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And as you get older, and especially when you get more and more emotionally sensitive to criticism, right? Like, then you're like, ooh, why should I put myself in a situation where I'm going to get criticized? So it's going to develop that shell even more, right? So this is what happens, right? All these experiences, maybe one experience might not change your life over time, but it happens many, many times, right? Many points in your life. And then you create this, like, okay, it's safer to shut up, keep quiet, public speaking, bad. That's what happens.
It becomes your reality.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, so that's one of the contributing factors. It's a developed fear. That's what happens. And maybe because of this developed fear as well, we sometimes create this perception that we are not good enough. And that's the underlying thing about the imposter syndrome. And, you know, like, for example, one of the fears of when you feel that you're not good enough, something that I definitely think about, is that whenever you deliver something, you always think about, number one, you don't have the qualifications. You're always wondering, I'm delivering to people who have better qualifications than me. I think Reza felt that, right? You're delivering to these experts, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So same thing when I was delivering like the stock for the Straight Path, I'm thinking like, wait a minute. I'm nothing compared to some of these people in the audience, right? Like they are way more qualified than I am. So when we have, so this thing creates, it's like, ish, who do I think I am, you know? And then sometimes another thing that we feel that we're not good enough is like, we feel like the content that we're going to say is maybe it's typical, it's nothing new, it's not value adding. So many people have said the same thing. What makes you so special? What snowflake do you think you are? You know, like, again, not the feel that you're not good enough. So that's why we fear public speaking. Yeah, I think also one more thing I just want to highlight as well. Not all types of fears are negative, yeah? And in fact, if some types of fears can be channeled into something productive. So for example, in Islam, what's a positive kind of fear?
Fearing Allah.
Exactly. Fearing Allah, right?
Yeah.
It's essential aqidah component, right?
Essential, yeah.
Right? To fear Allah, as in to fear His punishment, right? To fear hellfire, to fear the torment of the grave. And why is it something that's productive? Because if with the right aqidah, with the right mindset, that fear should drive us to be more productive in doing good deeds and to abstain from the sins that earn Allah's displeasure, that gets us closer towards these things that we fear, right? So it's actually something productive, right?
Yes.
So the fear becomes destructive when it results in a lack of productivity. That's the key. So when the fear paralyzes you from taking action, that's when it's a problem.
Okay.
So same thing as well in public speaking. So same thing as well in public speaking. If I'm going to use that same analogy, but like, why? Not necessarily every aspect of the fear of public speaking is bad. So sometimes the reason why you fear the public speaking itself is because for something positive is because you feel the aspect of the trust, the amanah, in delivering something, which it's not a bad thing, right? Because you care for it, right? So because you have this, you feel like you want to commit with ihsan, you want to do the best, right? You want to make sure that you do this topic justice. Or like Aziz is saying, right? You want to make sure that you don't breach any confidentiality. You don't step on any political minefields, right? Yeah, because you care. If you don't have this fear, if you have a psychopath, khalas, you know, let's just step on these minefields. It's not a bad thing, right? So I think this is just to set the scene. It's not necessarily a bad thing. As long as the fear doesn't lead to the point of perfectionism. So perfectionism is a bit dangerous. Perfectionism is where you feel like everything must be 100%, then I will give. As long as it's not 100%, I won't say anything.
Must be Barack Obama.
If I'm, it's either Barack Obama or no nothing. Speech. Yeah. So that's the danger. So that's why perfectionism actually can lead to non-productivity. Because I read a quote about this, about the idea of perfectionism. Perfectionism is not about striving for excellence. Perfectionism is actually about avoiding shame because of your own self-esteem. So that's a bit dangerous. That's a self-destructive behavior. Interesting, huh? I thought they were the same thing. MashaAllah. Anything else on why we fear public speaking?
I think pretty much everything has been said and covered.
Okay. Yeah. All right, awesome. So let's move into the final chunk, which is inshallah going to be the main point of discussion. So let's talk about some practical tips and how can we overcome this fear of public speaking.
Right. Perhaps I can share the first one. The easiest solution, despite all your fears, is to just dive into it. Just forget everything. Just go with it, you know. And one hadith particularly is very inspiring regarding this particular aspect. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, "Ihris ala ma yanfa'uka wasta'in billah wa la ta'jas." This hadith is actually inspiring in a lot of aspects in our life, not just public speaking, but other aspects as well. But essentially, this means strive in what benefits you and seek the help from Allah and don't feel weak. So if it's beneficial for you, for example, public speaking, the skills of public speaking, this is definitely something which inshallah will benefit you if you use it in the right way. So what the hadith here is saying that despite everything, strive in what benefits you. So despite your fear of public speaking or your debilitating feelings that you feel about it, just strive in what benefits you. And when you seek the help of Allah, Allah will help you through it. And perhaps for the benefit of the viewers, when you are faced in a certain situation like that needs you to speak in public, just remember this hadith, and inshallah it will give you the inner drive and inspiration to go through with it, because you know that you know, if you go along with the meanings of the hadith and seek the help of Allah, Allah will inshallah help you. So this is one of the things. And actually, just diving into it, in practice, a lot of the fear, as we mentioned before, comes a lot from the anticipation. And once you are in it, you find that actually it's quite manageable. And actually,
yeah, you don't want to drop the mic, right?
Exactly.
after you are up.
And actually, some stress is actually good for you in terms of helping you achieve peak performance. There's this graph, right?
Yeah.
I forgot what it's called exactly, but you know, this is like a bell curve whereby if you are there's too little pressure on you, you go in the comfort zone and then you don't grow and you are lackadaisical. But with the enough amount of pressure whereby it pushes you to a certain direction, you are at that peak of your performance level. That means sometimes you don't even know that you are capable of those abilities, but when you are in it, you're like, people call it in the zone, you know. You feel like you're in a peak performance mode.
So yeah, it's called a Yerkes Dodson law.
Mashallah. We spoke about this, I think, in season one before as well, right?
Yeah, we did.
Mashallah. So I think public speaking, the fear of it is that amount of pressure that you need to actually push yourself to peak performance. So yeah, utilize that fear to reach your heights that you never thought you can achieve. So this perhaps one tip. Just dive into it and you'll be surprised where you find yourself in when you are having this mindset.
Very good. So when you said like ihris ala ma yanfa'uka, like rush toward what benefits you. So just to continue on that point, I think one thing to remember is like, what is it that you stand to benefit from it? I think that's the first thing that you want to ask yourself as well. So coming back to the intentions. Yeah, that's correct, right. Correct. The niyyah, right? The Prophet says, "Innamal a'malu binniyat wa innamal likulli imrin ma nawa." All deeds are by intentions and you'll be rewarded by what you intend. So the thing you want to ask yourself is that, why do you want to overcome this fear of public speaking? Why is this important to you? If you can speak, what will you achieve? If you nail this presentation well, what is it that is on the other side? You know, like if you can deliver this da'wah well, what do you stand to gain? That's and you know, like when you think about this hadith, like ihris ala ma yanfa'uka, the one that Riza quoted, right? What benefits you, right? If you have high aspirations, sometimes those high aspirations alone can give you that sustainable motivational boost you need to improve despite the fear. Yes, it's scary, but mashallah, the benefit is huge, man. Right?
Yeah, so, mashallah. Yeah.
And you see people do this, right? Like when people, for example, maybe people are introverts, but they get into sales, right? But they're so motivated by the prospect of sales that they train, man. They become really, really good at it, right? Subhanallah. So likewise, you know, we should, this is the intention. You want to be very clear.
Yeah, yeah. Keeping the goal in mind, yeah? Start with the goal in mind.
Mashallah. Yeah.
And especially if public speaking can benefit you, for example, in da'wah, or, you know, in your work, when you find risk for yourself and your family, those are the things, you know, the end goal is what you should start off with. And then remember this hadith and just strive and just go with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So perhaps maybe something that I can add on to Reza's first point. Perhaps one of the ways that we can ask for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help, wasta'in billah, right, is simply by making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَإِذَا سَأَلْكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. When my servant asks, سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي, when my servant asks of me, then indeed I am near. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't even say to them, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly said, I am near. That means whatever you ask, really, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears it and He will definitely give you what you ask for. So, reflecting on the Brother Reza mentioned early on in the episode, he said that the story of Musa alayhi salam really, you know, is such an inspiration, right? Because the Prophet Musa alayhi salam, he had some sort of how do you say this? He's a stuttering problem because of an accident or something, right? When he was young, which some of the scholars mentioned that it was done purposely on purpose by Fir'aun himself, right? So it sort of made him his tongue stutter a lot. So the du'a that the prophets Prophet Musa alayhi salam he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, put in the Quran, is the du'a that I think every one of us knows. Since when we were in primary school, which is Rabbi shrahli sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. So this is a very great dua that everyone should try to remember to read when it comes to before delivering a speech or something, and try to have tadabbur, try to think of the meaning behind those words. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose that dua to be put in the Quran? It must be a great way a successful way, you know, attaining, a good speech. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose that dua to be placed in the Quran. So, and also the story of Musa himself. He is someone that has a stuttering problem, which I think I can relate to, because last time I used to stutter a lot, and even now, but alhamdulillah, I think now it has decreased. And he is someone of having that problem, and he has to face, and he had to face Fir'aun. He had to face Fir'aun, right? The greatest dictator of all time, right? Arguably the greatest dictator of all time during his time. And he had to deliver the message greatest, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Worst, huh?
The greatest,
in a bad way.
Yeah, in a bad way, yeah.
In a bad way. The worst, right? The worst dictator. Because dictator is already bad, right? So, yeah. So imagine that. Imagine putting yourself in his shoes, right? So that's got to be really intimidating. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the help of his brother Harun alayhi salam, and with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost, and the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put place in his heart, everything goes as planned. So his story is very inspiring.
Yeah, actually, this is my go-to dua, actually. Every time I want to deliver a speech, I'll say this, Rabbishrah. Because the meaning is, mashallah, so it applies in every situation, actually. Like, think about it, Rabbishrahli sadri oh my Lord, open my heart for me, my chest, open my chest for me. And the tafsir book, so it says that that means what? Grant me self-confidence, contentment, and courage. MashaAllah, you need all this, right? Right?
Yep.
وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي, make my task easy for me. MashaAllah, absolutely, right? Make this easy for me, right? وَحْلُلْ أُقْرَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي, like, untie this knot from my tongue. Now, of course, Musa had a specific knot, but we also have this, right? Like the stutter, this, you know? Difficulty to the figurative kind of knot, right?
Yeah.
Yafqahu qawli, so that they may understand my speech. Oh man, we want this so much,
this
right?
Last bit, this last bit is like, mashallah.
Yeah, this is the one, man. Mashallah. So yeah, I mean, I have to stay up front. It's not like from a hadith or sunnah that the Prophet used to do this, but it's just that, like Shami said, the context where Musa did make this dua was for the worst tyrant and for somebody who suffered a physical stutter, you know? So we are somewhere in between, right? We're not going to present to somebody like Fir'aun, you know? And we don't, inshallah, probably not, we don't have that kind of physical stutter like Musa's. And so, you know, this dua really, really helps when you think about the context. So yeah, it's my go-to dua all the time.
And also, when you do public speaking, right, you can also understand what sort of platform forum that public speaking is, yeah? And the more significant, the more important it is, the more preparation needs to go through it. Yeah, because some like the hadith say that eloquent speech is like it's like magic. So some people take it like, for instance, like if you hear to someone who's so eloquent and he's giving shubahat doubts, actually stay away from them because they might actually impact you in your aqidah. But on the flip side, it also shows that if you practice your speech well enough, you can actually convince people. Yeah. So and so when you are in a platform that requires public speaking, understand what's at stake. Yeah. That if it's more, if that forum is very significant, put more practice to that. But one of the things that you can practice for, yeah, you can put all the points whatsoever. But one thing I learned from what I've done is that be yourself. Sometimes you know Barack Obama, you know Richard Branson, any of those guys, yeah? Be yourself. Like if you're introvert and for you, we're not good in cracking jokes in public whatsoever, don't do that, yeah? But what's important is, end of the day, is what message you want your audience to take. What's the key take-home message that they have to get from your speech? So practice on that. Practice on those key messages. Be yourself. Don't have to be other people. And if you're the person that's only good in giving points, be it. Yeah. As long as the message that you want to drive home is there and the audience understands it. And then how much impact your speech gets depends on your sincerity that comes from your heart. Omar Al-Khattab mentioned how much impact the audience is based on how much sincere you have in your heart. So yeah, some of the things but most important, be yourself and prepare for your speech.
Actually, that's a really good point, be yourself, because one of the things that drives that fear is because we feel that we need to be a certain character. We feel like we need, we need to impress people. We need to be a certain way, like you say, like we have people think this is the character. But if you do that, you're forcing yourself to be somebody you're not. And that creates that fear, like, hey, wait a minute, this is hypocritical. So then you have this internal battle, now you have to fight yourself. Not only you have to deliver the speech, but I have to fight this. The being yourself is definitely very, very important in this context.
MashaAllah. I guess also what works for me is what Akhi Amir mentioned, is that to practice, like, for example, if you're delivering something big, it's practice. And by the time the time comes, inshallah, it will come natural for it, for you. Yeah. And also what Brother Faisal mentioned just now, the dua is also what works for me as well. I try to practice as well before any speech. You just feel so much relief, you know, when you...
Yeah.
Basically, it's almost like the feeling of you are giving... Tawakkal, yes. Correct. True, you are depending solely on Allah just to get you through that. And you are not depending on yourself. Yeah. This is one important...
remember to prepare, right?
Correct.
Remember to prepare. If you just give the dua but you never prepare, of course, your tongue will be tied.
Yeah, the preparation is your ikhtiar, the sabab for your success. But ultimately, when the event comes, just recite the dua, leave everything to Allah, and He will give you to the best way, facilitate everything for you, inshallah. So this is, mashallah, I think this mindset is something that for someone who has fear of public speaking, like myself, it really helps, you know, this tawakkul, when you recite this dua and you just leave it to Allah, you know, it works wonders, mashallah. So perhaps we can try this.
Mashallah.
Other tips for overcoming the fear is, what I have here is knowledge. Like, we have tons of tips and techniques in the internet, books, even in TED Talks, we have a lot of the speakers speaking about how to overcome the fears. We have classes about public speaking online and offline. One example that knowledge is come handy here is that we have one of our survey that they say that they have fear, the fear of public speaking because they're afraid they would forget what forget their speech, right? You know, I think this always happen. We always afraid that we will forget our speech. So when we afraid that we forget our speech, we would speak as fast as we could. If you guys have this fear, I used to have that because it's like I need just to get over it. And in his book, this Pitch Perfect, I think you guys need to read this book if you guys want to be Pitch Perfect, want to gain more knowledge. Yeah, the author Bill McGowan, I hope I pronounce it correctly, called this tailgating. You know, think of your brain and your mouth as a two car that is traveling down the road. It's tailgating.
Interesting.
The brain, the brain is the leading car. The mouth is the car is drafting right at the behind.
Okay.
So the more slowly you drive the mouth, the more likely you give the brain to carefully decide where the mouth is going to next. So, right? You keep we need to keep a safe distance. So when you speak fast, the closer the mouth travels to the brain, just like tailgating, when it crashes, this is the time when your train of thought stops. So what happened? Our brain is forced into choosing the first thought rather than the best one. This is why often we would say something irrelevant, or example, we start uttering fillers like and worse, we would say something maybe it's not appropriate.
Okay.
And this also happened when we try to repeat our Quran memorization, right? We recite so fast, we fear that we forget the next ayah. I don't know if you guys are doing it. So the next time you fear you will forget your speech, speak slow. You won't bother listeners. In fact, you are giving the chance the audience to digest what you're saying.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So I like this because this doesn't happen to me in speech, but also in typing, in writing, in texting. And leads to so much typo in my emails, my messaging, text, especially someone needs it urgently offshore, and then ask me for quick help, advice, and I'll just like, I got something in my brain, and I and before I formalized it, my hand's already typing it. I mean, oh yeah, then it's all full of spelling errors and so on. Yeah.
On a lighter note, when Aziz was saying tailgate, my mindset was that in Malaysia, the analogy is like ambulance. People driving, people following the ambulance behind, right? Ambulance with a siren, right? So everyone's like, oh, I got traffic clearance, mashallah, bismillah. Anyway, don't do that. That's a bad practice. Okay, one of the tips I have for to overcome nervousness and fear of public speaking is passion. Be passionate, right? Be passionate about whatever you're speaking about, whatever you need to present, to give a speech about. Have that excitement, that enthusiasm that, oh man, this stuff is gold. People have to really need to hear this. right? If you have like that, mm-hmm. like every time I try to present something, I tune my mindset to try and have this mindset. So you gotta ask yourself, okay, where does this passion come from? So number one for me, the passion of delivering the topic comes from, first I ask myself, and I want you to ask yourself as well, have you been in a speech or a, you know, a talk where when you listened to it, it was so inspiring and moving that it inspired you to change your life? Have you guys been to that, those kind of speeches?
Yes.
Maybe years later, right? The speaker probably doesn't even know you, but it changed your life, right? It has such a profound impact on your life, right? Maybe have you attended a technical presentation that was so impressive, you're so convincing, so effective, you're like, I want to deliver like that someday, right? Have you had that feeling, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Think about those memories, those moments, and ask yourself, what if I can do that? That's what gives me that passion. What if I can do well enough that one part of the speech, one part of that presentation could do to their lives what those presentations did to mine? That's what I always think.
Mashallah.
The possibility. Oh, we don't know, right? Allah knows best, right? Where he puts his barakah, right? But we know, you don't know, right? Even that speaker that inspired us years ago, he doesn't know also that he inspired us, right? I remember, every time I tell my ustaz or my shuyukh this, like, oh, Sheikh, I remember you told me 10 years ago. What did I tell you, Sheikh? Like, they get worried. So, okay, so that's one. So when I'm volunteering for MC, I always ask myself, you know, when I'm MCing for this event, I'm like the ambassador of this event, the ambassador of the organizers. I'm the voice and the face of this event. If I give an impression of this event well, mashallah, I create a good brand for the whole team. I have a chance to create a brand for them. So I, you know, that gives you that passion, you know, like, oh, mashallah, like, let's do something. Okay, it can go the other way around. So put a lot of pressure on you. But to me, like, we have a chance to create a good impression, mashallah. And when it comes to knowledge sharing, you know, even when it comes to work matters, I always remind myself, I remind myself that if people implement the stuff, it can improve their lives. And if I think about work as ibadah, then this is the legacy that I can leave behind for the sake of Allah. Mm. Knowledge that's benefited from. That inspires me. That's why, oh man, you guys got to listen to this. So that drives that passion, you know? And like every even Barakah Effect podcast, right? I remind myself, you know, what we're doing here, we're just trying to discover solutions for our lives, right? How we can improve our lives. And if people implement this, I genuinely believe that it can help improve their lives also. It can help them in their work, you know, and, you know, in every aspect of their life, inshallah, right? So in this topic, for example, like if we can help them overcome their fears of public speaking, if we can help them become better du'at, mashallah, that gives me so much passion, you know, mashallah.
Inshallah.
Yeah, so
true, very true.
So if you think about all these different angles, it can really give you that passion, especially when it comes to delivering Islamic knowledge. No, so sometimes people think of Islamic knowledge as like this burden thing, right? Right. It's very difficult. So what I recommend is think about how much impact you can have if you do it right. We think about what can go wrong, right? Think about what happened if you do it right. Now, things that if you have time to prepare, you have time to look for verified knowledge, to check with teachers, to cross-check whether how accurate it is, right? So if everything that within your control, you can verify its authenticity, mashallah, you should embrace the idea that the Prophet ﷺ said that by Allah, if Allah gets one person through you, it's better than the best possessions in this dunya, than the red camels, right?
Inshallah.
One person, that's all it takes, right? So that prospect should motivate you. So, yeah, I mean, to me, I think this is very, just think about what's the best thing that can happen. And you know, when you have this passion, it does wonders to your speech. It does wonders to your public speech. First of all, it adds this layer of energy and engagement. You know, you just sound more confident and people are like, oh, mashallah. And, you know, if it's genuine, it becomes contagious. People are like, people can feel it, you know, people can enjoy it. People are like, even if they don't understand what you're saying, they're like, I don't know what he's saying, but yeah, you know, I'm on board with it. You know?
I'm with you.
Yeah, let's do this. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, these are all some ideas. Like, what are the mindsets that you can do to be passionate about your subject matter? And of course, if you want to be passionate, you need to believe in what you want to say. You know, so to me, this is important. Like, you want to own it. You want to have that ownership. Then, inshallah, you have that. Yeah, let's share it to the world. Okay, another one. For me, I think we can go a bit more for this because we got a few more. Inshallah, Yeah, I think one of the things I remind myself is that when you deliver something, whether it's emceeing or technical presentation, or work presentation, or a speech, think about switch the mindset that you are a man on a mission. So I remind myself, this is not about you. It's not about your ego. It's not about your fame. It's not about your, it's not about you. It's about the message that you're trying to deliver. You are only a messenger. If you chicken out, you fail the message. You don't fail yourself. You fail yourself also, but you fail the message. So you think about being a professional, right? You're actually failing the job. So if you think about it that way, it's like, oh, then you got to like step up to it, just deliver and move on. It's just like another work. So that's
it's not about us, right? It's about the message that we deliver.
Yes, yes. So that's one mindset I try to remind.
Also, perhaps in that line of thought, right? Like, always remember and remind ourselves that, you know, this dunya is basically a place where we do our best to get the farm our deeds for the akhirah. So if public speaking helps you attain something good for the akhirah, then we should strive to it. And remember that in this dunya, it's just a temporary thing. And if you don't do it now, you might lose out on the potential of it. So just in that sense, just go for it and remember the virtues that you stand to gain when you go with this public speaking. And the life is temporary. Like what you say now, the next 100 years, no one will remember it anymore. Mm. And you know, what stays is actually what you do for Allah. And this is one of the things that always I also try to remind myself that, you know, what stays are the good things, are the good deeds that you do, inshallah. And
I got another tip as well. I find this quite useful. I got this from several different sources and it works very well for me. Is that when you want to deliver something, imagine that you're speaking to your best friend. So, let's put a context for this. Even for us, the Barakah Effect, right? Yeah. You notice in our podcast discussions, it'll always be lively, interactive, enthusiastic. But when you need to speak to the camera by yourself, where did the enthusiasm go, man?
I recall, you know, when we were starting to record the introductions, the first few times record the introductions, I spent the whole day just re-recording and it just feels dry. And you
know, for 5 minutes video, usually it would take tries. Hours, of- 2 hours video, and then cut until it's 5 minutes.
So difficult to do, right?
Subhanallah. But it gets better, alhamdulillah, you know, as you go along and you practice. Listen to the tips, you practice.
Inshallah. Even actually, that happens to me also. So even like recently, I did a live session solo, and it's about like our daughter, sharing about the name that we chose for her. So after the sharing session, I just asked my wife, how did it go? So she said, it was good, but... So you know, there's a thing, right? When you say it's good, but... The good but you forgot, right? So everything, but okay, what is it? Right? So she said to me, you appeared very nervous. Huh? You don't seem like your smooth usual self. And I thought,
I noticed that. Right? You were shaking a bit, but it's just a bit.
Yeah, it's true, it's true. Yeah. Because I had no one to talk to. It's just... Looking at the lens, like, so lonely, you know?
So, it was okay, inshallah.
And I forgot about it. That's what you're saying?
But alhamdulillah, I think it's the first 10 minutes.
You were
a bit shaky, but after that, it's okay.
Okay, mashallah. Allahu barik. So, I mean, it was actually, it is difficult, no doubt. And I thought, like, I thought I was used to it, but it's just that when you're in that, oh man, you're out of practice, you realize it's really difficult. But when you're in a Zoom discussion like this, it feels different, right? It feels like you're speaking to best friends, mashallah. Even if it's virtually, right? It feels like we're hanging out at the coffee shop, right? So what drives a lot of our fear when it comes to public speaking is that this is the problem, right? It's sort of like what Ami is going through. We imagine the worst critic who will tear apart our presentation. They're going to ask difficult questions. They're going to judge us. And like Ami, as this is saying, the guy who frowns, this is the guy who's going to destroy my presentation. But actually, like, he's thinking, or maybe he was thinking, did I leave the
digesting
stove?
Like...
Or maybe I was thinking, oh, did I leave the stove on before I came? Right? But we think about the worst thing, right? We remind ourselves of, you know, somebody we experienced maybe in the past, the nastiest guy, hunt for mistakes, discredit us, or even ignore us, you know? Maybe they are watching their Twitter feed while they're listening to us, you know? And that creates a lot of these kind of negative things in our head, right? But if you deliver this speech with this expectation, of course you'll be in a nervous wreck. You know what I mean? But now think about, what if you're going to, your mindset is, I'm talking to my best friend. Right? So this is the tip that I have. Like, the paradigm shift, think about delivering to your best friend. Instead of imagining you're delivering to the worst person, the worst critic, the nastiest guy on earth, imagine the best person to you. What does it mean by best friend? A best friend who you're excited to share. You want like this enthusiasm. Hey, bro, you got to check this out. You know, like, you want to have that. And then your best friend is somebody who you want good for. That's why you want to give this nasiha. It comes from your heart, right? Whatever you want to share, it's something that, oh, it's something that's useful for you, especially if it's beneficial knowledge, right? So if it's your best friend, it's somebody you feel that is willing to listen to you. So that's very, actually very motivating to have somebody who wants to listen to you, right? Somebody who cares for you. And here's the important one. If it's your best friend, it means he wants you to succeed. He wants you to go do a good presentation. He wants you to do a good speech. Doesn't that change your mindset? And when I did that speech in the Straight Path, my parents were there in the audience, my sister, my wife, and I'm like, yeah, I'm talking to them. So that motivates me, like, oh, I can say something nice, you know? So that helps a lot.
Even when we are an audience, right?
Yeah.
We want to hear the speaker, right?
Yeah.
We don't straight away judge him. We want to get their wisdom, their gems.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good point. Actually, that was my one of my other sub points is that, think about the last time you saw a presentation. And when that person was maybe had some stutter or two, were you very quick to say like, oh, this guy lousy lah?
I don't think so.
Are you quick to say like, who is this guy? What is his credentials? You in fact, when he does that, you're like, wow, this guy is really trying, mashallah. I admire his courage. You know, you have this. So if you have that perception of others, why can't you think about others having that perception for you? Why do you have to think about the worst thing? So to me, it's like, imagine yourself in the audience, and that's basically probably what the audience will probably think. I think that helps a lot in overcoming that fear, actually. That's why, actually, by the way, also, this is my technique, even in professional presentations. It's not the easiest thing to do, but I think of the chairman as my friend. I do technical proposals.
That is difficult.
Oh, it's so difficult. Even if they're harsh to me.
As long as you don't call him bro, it's okay.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. That's a good one. Yeah. But think about that person as your friend, as somebody who's actually helping your proposal. Who, when he asks a question, it's like your best friend. It's not to hunt for mistakes, but he wants the best proposal. He wants to be convinced. Yeah. Like, he wants, like, this is something that, you know, tell me more, you know? So when you switch your mind like this, you're less likely to be defensive. And that gives you more confidence.
So basically, like, putting yourself in the audience perspective, and, you know, it's actually not that bad what actually you, as the audience, view the speaker as.
Yeah.
So that's a good tip, mashallah.
Okay, if there's actually, I have another one. Some of you might not like this, but this is really helpful for me, which is, get used to being disliked. You don't say, okay. Right? Look,
how do you do this? Yeah, mashallah.
Yeah, so to me, like, this requires some time. Just try to accept the fact that there will be people who will dislike you, but at the same time, there will also be people who like you as well. And the idea here is like what Amir alluded to earlier. Don't spend too much time managing people's perceptions or trying to impress them, because you have to put this mindset that the greatest speech of your life, even if it's the best substance in the world, there will be haters. There will be unreasonable critics. What's the proof for this? What's the dalil for this? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Exactly.
Best message,
best character, best everything. You're never going to be as good as him. And yet look at the backlash that he receives, right? Right. So yeah. I think you have to frame it in that way. You kind of have to accept that reality. It's not an easy thing to do, but in fact, all the prophets face this, right? If you look at which surah was it? Is it Surah Ash-Shu'ara, where repeated stories about prophets, different prophets, and then the same kind of hate speech leveled against them, right? So it's actually something that's a part of life, actually. Even in fact, the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, look at Abu Bakr and Omar. How many people slander them until today? Millions of people, right? Yeah. And it doesn't destroy their character. It doesn't lower their honor, their honor in any way, isn't it? So think about it there. So learning more about this deen actually motivates me. Like, so you know, like despite all these things, still their honor in the sight of Allah, which is the most important, is not affected. And in fact, they will still go down in history as the best in mankind. So I think that helps a lot. And at the same time, because on the other hand as well, you will have people who are the best of the best, and you still have haters. At the same time, you also have frauds, liars who can impress millions, like Amir is saying, people who have mastered speech to the ability like doing seher, like magic, but they have so millions of followers, right? Yeah. Millions of likes and subscribers on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and so on. Like, what is the meaning of that, right? So being liked or disliked is not a criteria of whether you like how well you are in delivering that speech. So that's why even multiple times in the Quran, think about it, right? Allah reminds even Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam many times that the prophets before you were also belied and rejected. It's like reminding him, this is expected actually. So the more I learn, the more I realize, the more it trains me to become less of a people pleaser. The more I realize that, you know what? This takes time, right? By the way, I was not like this in my younger days. If people criticize me back then, I was like, but these days, like, you gradually learn to the more you learn and the more you get exposed to criticism and the more you be patient with it, the more you realize that, you know what? If you don't like me, that's okay. I'm not here to impress you. Because even there are some speakers who there are a lot of people who like, but we personally, maybe it's not according to our taste. It's not to disrespect them. It's just that, it's just not according to our taste, right? So just like when it comes to, for example, Islamic tasks, right? Or even podcasts, like we're doing Barakah Effect. I remind myself, I'm not here to impress people. I'm here to, in a way, impress Allah in that sense, right? Seek the pleasure of Allah. That's all the validation I need. So I think that's a mindset not easy to get to, but that's the reality of life.
Yeah, subhanAllah. Because a lot of us, and many times, we put this as a measure of success, whether you have no dislikes or you have all the likes. This is for a lot of us, maybe for myself as well, we put it as the measure of a success, but not necessarily.
I never heard or read this kind of tips.
Yeah, yeah.
Public speaking. Yeah,
it's quite new, mashallah.
Oh, is it? Okay, this is new.
I didn't expect that, but mashallah.
Yeah.
Sometimes maybe a bit more like on a work related public speaking. Sometimes you just like what Aziz started this conversation with is just part of work. You can't run away with it. Yeah. Worst thing you can do is you back it off, and that's you just breach your the trust that the company has given to you, salary that you take. The best you can do is make the best out of it. If you need help, get help. If you leverage on someone else's expertise, do that. Yeah, there's always solutions to difficult to these kind of problems. Yeah,
people are always afraid to ask for help, right?
Yeah,
especially to their supervisor because it would make them look weak.
Weak.
But our supervisor always usually help us.
That's true.
Yep, I guess in the end, I say perhaps there's no one size fits all solution for anyone, and it's basically what you have to try out by yourself. But the most important thing is not to run away from it.
Yeah.
So just own it and face it head on. There may be solutions that work for you, maybe solutions that don't really work for you. It's up to us to find out. But the most important tip here, I guess, is don't run away from the fear, because there's so much for you to gain.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, I have a quote about that. It's about courage. So Nelson Mandela said this, Mark Twain said it before him. He said, courage is not the absence of fear, it's the triumph over fear. All right. So the strong man is not the one who doesn't feel fear, but who actually overcomes it in spite of that, who still moves forward. So, yeah, I mean, we all feel afraid, like for whatever reasons we said before that, but it's what you do with that fear that makes all the difference. So the cowards, they get paralyzed. They're like, oh, khalas, chicken out, you know? But the courage one, in spite of that fear, they step up. So, yeah, mashallah, this is an important point. We all know, we said it before, it's very common. All of us, a vast majority of us face this. We know we're not alone. All we have to do is fight that, right? Try our best because of the benefit that comes from it.
And enjoy the process.
Enjoy the process. That's a good one. Yeah.
And the challenge makes it worth it. You know, if there is no challenge, you will not appreciate a thing as much as you do. So actually, that challenge makes you value it more, and you have basically a sense of achievement out of it. So this is one thing that we need to think about.
Yeah, I have one more. Yes. Start small. Try to volunteer before you are given a big task. Start small now.
Exposure therapy, yeah?
Yeah, before you have to speak to a big audience, right? Oh, that's I think that's worse.
Yeah, correct. That's a good one.
Small steps, big impact. Huh?
Yeah.
Small steps.
Yeah, maybe just one thing. Maybe, yeah, the process of getting used to being disliked, actually, eventually, once you reach that point, it gets you more and more confident. But maybe some people, it's not easy. And maybe that how do you overcome that fear of criticism in the beginning? Because it's that first barrier that's always the most difficult one, right? So just to combine what Aziz is saying about asking for help, one thing that helps me a lot is that if you are going to face a presentation or a speech, seek feedback from someone you trust, right? So this is a form of exposure therapy. But what you want to do is you expose it in a limited, controlled environment. Somebody you trust is somebody who's willing to give their honest feedback and listen to you. And so that you know that whatever constructive criticism you get, if it's very, very harsh, you know it comes from a good place, right? It comes from a place that wants you to succeed. And that's case number one. Case number two, you realize that it's not so bad criticism after all. And that gives you more confidence, right? Case number three, the guy said, wow, this is brilliant. That's even better, right? So that gives you even more kind of confidence. So try to do this. In addition to rehearsing, get this feedback from somebody else. It helps a lot, actually.
I put a term called peer review, right? Like this?
Sort of, yeah.
You get people on board your ideas as well. So when you go to those difficult meetings, you know who you can count on. Yeah? And they're going to be on your side most of the time. So, yeah, this is one of the things that do those trials first. Make sure you got the correct person, you know, on those trials. Yeah. This is part of seeking help. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good one. Really helped me a lot, actually. And just one side thing to build your confidence as well. This is a very common tip. People ask, what any tips for preparing for my presentation or for my speech? I give them one tip, which is just record yourself and listen to yourself. If you do this, most of the time, you can actually nail 70% of how to improve it. Because you yourself can judge. You're like, hey, I don't like my voice. I don't like my tone. Why am I speaking so slow, so fast? You know, you yourself actually can judge, actually. Now, by the way, before I continue, how many of you hate listening to your own voice? Okay, so Aziz Reza.
Same, yeah. Same.
I mean, okay, me too, actually. Me too. And I think all of you out there also hate listening to your own voice. I know, right? Yeah, well, if you want to improve, you're going to have to fight that hate, my friend. Confront that brutal facts. Now, you know, you see, the problem, probably one of the things that you hate listening to your voice is because you objectively think it's bad. And you know what? If it is bad, it's fine. At least you yourself discover that bad and you know what to improve, right? If you confront it, you can pick out what's bad about it, iron it out, polish it up. Better you coming to terms with it rather than some nasty stranger like the Amir is saying, right? And before, you know, I used to do this a lot, by the way, in my podcasting. I just record audio only. As much as I hate listening to myself, I hate seeing myself even more.
Right? Same here.
Right? Okay, I know, right? So what I realized is actually just listening to my own speech, right? Listening to the same recording, like just listening back to the recording, I realized, oh yeah, I can pick up so many flaws immediately. So most of the time, the flaws is like, I speak so lifeless, not energetic, so mechanical. Yeah. That was, you know, back then, I was like, ooh, this cannot be, man. Then why am I speaking so fast? Like, what is going on? You know, then, oh, I have to, then I know exactly what to tweak. And then, of course, there are other things that you have a blind spot, but inshallah, at least a lot of that you can try to improve. Now, since these days, since we had the podcast, it's kind of unavoidable to listen to our own voice and watch our own videos because we have to edit the episodes, right? Mm. So, alhamdulillah, actually, you don't realize, actually, one of the things that accelerated your development is because you watch yourself and you realize, hey, I need to improve this and this and this. Actually, it's very subconscious in our minds. So maybe you don't realize that, but I think for the audiences out there, it's actually something that helps a lot, right? So yeah, confront this thing that you don't like. Eat the frog.
Sure.
Mashallah. Alhamdulillah. It's been a very exciting discussion, very enthusiastic. So we overcome the fear, inshallah. So we hope this has been beneficial to the listeners out there. And to the listeners out there, let's hear from you. Like, what are your thoughts? Do you still have this fear? What do you think about some of the ideas that we presented? Are they useful to you? And, you know, maybe if you have any other suggestions, we'd love to hear from you as well. And if there are other reasons why you have this fear, also reach out to us. We would love to hear from you, inshallah. So may Allah Azza wa Jalla grant us the strength to continuously improve. I just want to end this on busting three myths. Yeah, can I do that? Can I mention three myths about public speaking? Number one, the myth is you got to be born with it. You either got it or you don't. That's a myth. Public speaking
either
you are like
Barack Obama or not. Yeah.
Oh, right. That's not true, right? You can develop it. Another myth, you got to be extrovert. That's a myth. You don't have to be an extrovert. You can totally be an introvert. Oh, that gives us so much comfort, right? Yes. Because I looked this up, actually, you can look up Google. Actually, there are a lot of great public speakers who are actually introverts. And the names that I have in Google here are Gandhi, Winston Churchill, Eleanor Roosevelt. Yeah. Churchill. Yeah, he's actually an introvert. Abraham Lincoln. He's a real serious introvert. But when he gives speech, whoa. Where did that come from? Right? So, yeah, it can happen. Another myth is that you have to be spontaneous. In fact, if you want to be a really good speaker, don't be spontaneous. You got to stay in your lanes, right? Deliver the content, right? So, yeah, I mean, inshallah, we try to bust these myths, inshallah, we try our best. Okay, so we end on that note, inshallah. So, may Allah Azza wa Jalla help us in our journey to improve our public speech and use it in a way that pleases Him the most.
Ameen.
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك ونشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت ونستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته